Telling you a little bit about what we've been doing in Libmian?
No, not yet. Last I got to see what he did on the
project. Oh,
yeah. We were all going through it in my office.
Yeah.
So you're still looking at Zelenel, or you've been looking at something else?
I've been putting together example framework for examples, which I think are sort of almost come together as pieces to me, should be fair away.
Cool. And then, so you were asking Jagir if he was looking at Zelenel, or...?
Well, Jagir had asked what he could do to help and the Zelenel implementation is something that Jagir's going to need to use. And so he was offering to do that.
Yeah.
What sort of time frames are involved here? Like, you're just starting your PhD and sort of got to come to grips with quite a few things, but what are your priorities at the moment, and have you had a chance to start looking at this?
So, what I did last week was to use the Zelenel2C program and try to see the code that it generates for the various models that they have.
Cool.
So it pretty much gives out the integration code for each time step. That's what is put on. So
yeah.
You have to keep register it as a callback and keep calling at each node where you want to do it. So
yeah.
So that is the kind of idea that I have.
Yeah.
So the next thing, if we need to go forward, is to integrate the node object in libmesh to make calls to the Zelenel code that's getting generated. So if that's done, then the integration at that level is done.
You still need a time stepping sort of an integrator, don't you? Don't you need something to, because the Zelenel time steps is normally much smaller than maybe it's not true.
Generally, it's the same, I suppose. Yeah.
So just doing one Euler integration is a good enough step.
But I mean, there are people out there that take a larger time step, fusion, lots of small reaction time steps. But we tend to take the same size, which is why our time steps are so small, 0.01. So, it's just another one of thousands of things that I could be looking at by one or two.
Sure.
What accuracy is lost by taking a bigger fusion time step? But for now, we can just assume that.
Okay, well, that's good.
I see sort of two levels of what needs to be done here. One's sort of implementing an integrator, which we're suggesting a simple Euler integrator is good enough for the start. And the other is just understanding how to hook that into the diffusion component of the reaction diffusion equation through the operator splitting involved. You don't have a good reference form that describes what we do, do you? Or how did you manage to find out what we did?
Code. Yeah. You can look on my papers.
Oh, does that describe it?
Yeah.
Would that be helpful to you?
Yeah, because I don't have a clue what operator is putting in gas over here.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll send you one.
Okay.
And so, do you plan to? So, this generator, I mean, say you're running a problem and you want to read in a field ML file, you can run off, you can automatically run the code generation service thing or whatever, the whole standalone thing from Andrew, and generate some code. Are you going to automatically compile that into a shared object and load it up, or what do you plan to do?
That depends upon what we decide.
Okay.
Because if it's going to be, say, putting in code that's going to automize the thing, what I saw it or what I kind of perceive is when you create this litmus binary for a particular problem, I kind of assume that we want it to be best optimized for the run, which means that it is going to be set up.
So long as it's kind of a systematic way of taking changing your CLML and then regenerating your code and then recompiling it, then that seems fine to me. But as long as it's a systematic way of doing it, it doesn't
want
it to be done.
Linking would be the key issue here, rather than even compiling.
Yeah.
We just need to link with different models by providing a common interface between the libmes components and
I think you're right.
Are we talking about efficiency of the open here?
Probably such a big issue, but then you don't really need it in the way. I mean,
I just think you link your executable directly.
I mean, it's not necessary to make a shared object and put it in the way and do all this stuff. I don't see it changing if you're going to compile your main program anyway.
You just use an executable?
It just means you can change the cell model without the
compiling. That's good.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, if the link is it's real fast, it doesn't really matter.
So all we need is to call the function directly. It's fair enough for this step anyway. I can add one more function if we need it.
You've got to come up with a good case for where you need to be able to change it on the fly all the time to do otherwise.
You're going to be looking at heterogeneity.
But that might mean that you have several models, but you still want them all along accessible. You want varying parameters, but you want those parameters to be able to be specified to the code that you generate, presumably.
Someone could come up with a situation where you'd want to change a model, but not anything we're doing.
Yeah, and then you write a new piece of code.
You
write a different program.
By the way, how do you guys say heterogeneities?
Heterogeneity.
So I was talking to Don Neal at the Part 4 dinners, and I don't know what he was saying. I couldn't understand what it was until finally I figured out he was saying heterogeneities. But he was using some pronunciation that was just beyond anything I'd heard.
Heterogeneous.
He's more.
But Don's hard to understand.
Hetero. That's what he was saying, like heterogeneity. Heterogeneity.
The thing I thought of, all the functions are given the same name by default by the CLML generator. I'm guessing it always produces a C function with the same name. Now, one way to get around that is through DLOpen, and then you
look
don't
for
DLOpen
the same
it globally.
Yeah.
DLOpen?
So just
dealing with dynamic library.
Runtime loading the shared object. If you're going to link it directly in and you want several different models, then
you have to give them different.
You either have to sort of process your source code or just to define the change the name, probably enough. And so that when you linked it, when you compiled it, it had a different name. Or the other thing to do, you could put a wrapper around it and make it a static thing, but I don't think that's going to help. So it will need to be probably compiled with a special option that says change this function name to something else. So essentially use a preprocessor simple to change the name of the function would be the simplest way to do it. You could put it through a stream register engine if you wanted to.
I think I need a little more in-depth understanding here. So when we look at a problem, we have a mesh and we have nodes on this mesh, and the solver actually solves for individual nodes and extrapolates it for the mesh, and hence the problem is the solution for the problem is
up there.
Yeah. So now each node over here, when we are going to say, is going to be of more than one type. If it is of the same type, then we don't run into the problem of having thing. But when it's more than one type, is when we associate another characteristic to the node, which means that for solving this particular node's next time step, you got to make a call to this particular implementation.
Yeah.
Right. So that is more application specific.
Yes.
Right. So how is this particular data being infused into the static build that we have?
No one's decided that yet.
Yeah. So once, I think when we decide that, the way in which the call is going to happen, I think we'll be able to decide whether we need to do it in the way that you're telling. That is, do we change the function names to connect the node to a CellML model? Or do we look at a different mechanism to make those calls?
I see two possible mechanisms. One is a runtime loading of a dynamic object, and the other is you have a range of cell models linked in each with a different function name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that one's significantly easier or more difficult than the other, but the dynamically loading one seems more flexible. So that's why I'm leaning that way. If you can argue that it is significantly difficult and it's easy enough to implement the other one, then I'm quite happy with that as a starting.
But what I was thinking was these cells don't move.
No.
Right. So once a particular node is set to a particular cell model, it stays that way for the entire run.
That's right.
Presumably.
Can I just interrupt real quick? Because I don't think we actually have different cell models. I think what we do is we have different parameters.
Yeah, for those cell models.
So, for example, you might have one of the complicated cardiac models.
But don't know things that if you want to try to do L-type cells or whatever, don't they have some different models for some of those ones?
Yeah. What are you going to need in your thesis figure? Like, if you try to get an AV node and an atrium and a ventricle, then you need different models. But if it's just ventricular muscle, then you're looking at variation.
We're going to get it.
Variation from the cardiac index.
Yeah, but that particular distribution is fixed for the entire run. At least that is what we see.
Yeah.
And probably if you're looking at oil flow or something else, then these things change. But this case, we are just talking about a fixed thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So which means that at the time we build our core EXE, we know what the mapping is.
Mm. Yeah.
So why do you think we need a dynamic link? Because it's going to
just because it tidies up your namespace issues. That's the name, but it's kind of tidy.
If you don't have a dynamic link, then you have to make sure that each cell model you use, if you are using more than one cell model, has to have a different name, and so you need to come up with some function.
Yeah, I think we could have, right, because that is how we'll be able to identify one cell model from another.
Yeah, but if you just DL open them as separate things and you've got a handle to each one, it nicely encapsulates these are the functions you call for this one, they're all in this DL opened object. Mm. It is kind of tidy. It doesn't really matter.
It's a decision that doesn't matter.
It's not important. I agree. I don't think we need to make this decision today. Either way is fine, and changing it would actually be quite easy.
But I do think it's important to be able to have varying parameters.
Yeah, which was the issue that we were worried about, but I'm not sure whether we resolved, did we?
so representing fields in the mesh.
So no, more being able to put input parameters, varying inputs to our, varying constants to our cell models.
Okay. Andre seemed to think that wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm. Not right now, yeah, the way it's done now.
It all depends which level. If you just have the code generator, then I think you're fine. If you start using this LML API,
integrate what's done CM.
Well, no, but CM has been trying to migrate to using CellML, hopefully. I mean, CM doesn't use CellML. This is AndreML also.
Oh, okay.
And it's been completely rewritten.
Okay.
By Andrew, so we're talking about trying to use what Andrew's doing. Andre's trying to use what Andrew's doing.
Andre's trying to use what Andrew's
doing. Yeah.
When you mean you want to change parameters, I don't really do that.
Well, you can change the shape of the action potential curve and spatially. So you might have one region where you've got ischemia. So the action potential curve has a different shape. Maybe it's got a longer LPR, whatever that thing's called. A longer action potential curve. And that can be obtained by changing the parameters cell model. So maybe the cell model is some ODE. Usually go G, ion, B, M minus B, something, plus a bunch of other stuff. And then there's a set of equations like this for every physical location that we're finding a solution for, and these parameters can be adjusted so that the typical exponential curve looks different.
Yeah.
So that's how you...
And through the wall, it should have some variation, right? So that was
maybe. I don't know. Not an experiment. I know that in the stomach, frequency varies as you go down the stomach. So you change the parameters so that later on the intrinsic frequency of the cells is slower than just top part of the stomach.
So the value that gets inside changes, but not the model, right? I mean, I can just
the model. It depends what you say.
Yeah, it depends what you call a model. So the model changing the parameters is changing the model.
Defined by an F.
Yeah, but if you're changing F, then you've changed the model, right?
Yeah. So what I mean is the value here changes, and it's not going to be that in another case I'm going to have NDC or...
Yeah, that's right. But changing these parameters is still changing the model.
Yeah, that I get it. Yeah.
No, we're not... I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, to be honest, but... Well, I mean, if you have different regions, like an AV node and just standard cardiac muscle cells...
Yeah.
Then those are different types of cells, so they
have different totally models. Different models.
But if you took just the heart muscle and looked at the regional variation, it wouldn't make sense to have different models, because typically what you do is you have one model that maybe measures, does the upstroke better, and then you change stuff in that model to allow for some kind of ischemia or something.
Right, totally. I mean, that's the only other thing. I mean, if you want to model the onset of ischemia, you might want to choose to change your model on the fly. But anyway, let's not.
I would say you'd have some kind of.
Does that help? Does it? No,
I did.
Yep.
I understand what I want.
Yeah.
I was thinking writing down this weekend. I was trying to think of. There's a example 18. That's Navier-Stokes and it's a Navier-Stokes class that implements public FEM system class. That essentially FEM system allows you to solve a non-linear time-dependent problem by evaluating the Jacobian and evaluating the residual. So for our case, the bidomain, nonlinear be linear, because we're passing the nonlinear part to the right hand side, lagging that in time, so we're not actually solving that nonlinear part. I was trying to think of how I could of an implementation of the bidomain class, or if it should be a bidomain class.
Okay.
Because I was trying to start getting to the point of either monodomain or bidomain. I thought I might as well do bidomain and just have monodomain be a simplification of it. So I was trying to start to write down some notes on what that would be, and then I started going into ODE class, and I decided that probably was a good idea. I'll just do a simple cubic first and not worry about the ODE class. So I don't know if you have given much thought to that, or I'd love to defend the system or the Navier-Stokes class.
What offer is sort of some additional variables and
Navier-Stokes?
Yeah, I mean, what's the advantage of using an additional class over just a linear equation, linear system? It sort of sets up your initial.
Well, I think personally it makes setting up a problem easier for users, especially if people are doing bidomain or monodomain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this gets to the object-oriented stuff, right? What's a class? Is that really a class, or is that just an instantiation of? I think
so. The design, the place to make it is when you would end up rewriting the same code over and over again because you were implementing the same problems over and over again. As soon as you go, well, I would have written it five times, and you obviously should have written it in the class and shared it.
Yeah. I mean, with the bottom
that,
class.
That's where it belongs.
Yeah, okay, then I think it is necessary to have five.
But, I mean, one way to then design it is to say, okay, write five problems and find out what's common. And that's one way to design it because then it shows you what it is that you should have put into a class.
Well, the Navier-Stokes class, for example, includes the unknowns for velocity and pressure and a Reynolds number parameter. And so the Navier-Stokes bidomain class would wrap up the transmembrane.
So it says
there'd
we have
this transmembrane
sort of
unknown, there'd be an extracellular potential unknown, and then there'd be some link to a cell model. And then maybe some way of solving it, since it could be explicit, implicit, any of those things. I think it just makes it easier if, for example, a student, I don't know how we're going to do this in the end, but if someone's starting to use it before it's got a nice interface, if it's going to have an interface at all, then it's just easy. The other thing was, I was kind of mentioned Andrew Pullman, my plans on trying to get this going with the gut, and he has a grant that he wants to, that he's currently writing with the guy, the U.S. NIH, and he'd like to eventually possibly hand him something that he can use to run simulations of the stomach and the intestines, and he'd like to have something that's smaller and seamless, and so something like this would be favorable to him, so I think it's
Well, I was suggesting that if we had this problem running, I'd be quite happy to make a GUI for it by the time about, presume it, but not knowing definitely, demo December sometime. I mean, because again, having a 3D sort of a GUI that you could then change some parameters and resolve, lab heart style or whatever, is exactly what people blither on about, and we should be able to do. People have been able to do it, just no one does it. You can make something like that. Which is exactly getting at what Andrew would want, I would imagine. Change a few parameters and it resolves and generates different solutions. Change the model a bit.
Exactly.
Recompiles and generates
another. You read a different geometry, you have your different geometry.
It could still compile it. I mean, that would be okay.
And one of the good things that even mentioned by Libmesh is that their licensing arrangement, the LGPL, was
was created in order to allow a wider variety of people to use it, so you can make money off of it. So that's one of the things here that Andrew was talking about. Was if you could,
but that was the same thing we did with Seamless, even, or the Seam GUI.
Yeah.
It's quite...
So it's the same license, right?
Oh, ours is, no, ours is Mozilla, which would be, okay. It's better than, oh, it's more flexible. Mozilla explicitly allows you to take any piece of code or any file and use it.
What are the limitations on, I mean, let's say you took a look at it and you added a little GUI to it and sold it as a product.
That's okay, so long as you also supply all the source code for it.
So you don't have to really do too much, but someone might say, well, that's stupid, I'm not going to buy that because I can make that myself.
That's right, if that's okay. True.
So,
but
you're free to make any money you want off of as long as you
supply the source code, make it clear that you're using it, and so on. But it's people don't. I mean, if you've added a nice little GUI and so on, you probably haven't, right? Especially if you've, you know, your main program does something that you haven't told them as well.
Because I was looking at our field of ML notes from Peter, which had colored piece of paper with all the different arrangements. This is here, and there's a link here, so the API between these.
Yeah.
Field of ML is taking up quite a bit of what he had written down.
He's been going on and on with me about field of ML. I got forwarded a conversation he's having with some European people. Well, no, the European guy actually sent me an email saying, Peter's been telling me all about field ML, but I read your website and it just seems to be elements and stuff to me. That doesn't match up with what Peter said. Could you please tell me what your up-to-date plans are? Shortly followed by an email from Peter saying, don't reply to this guy until we've had a phone conversation. Skype to call, he calls it. I'm going, yeah, he wants to tell me what to tell the guy.
I'm suspicious that he hasn't responded to you about the dragon because he's not sure if he's behind our plan. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I think if we do, we're on the email. If we present what we've doing it by, you know, short in December or whatever, I think he'll be very happy.
This is why I came together today and really want to try and get something done.
I agree. I totally agree.
I'm excited about it, and I think, and as I was playing with trying to do some stuff this weekend with CN, I realized how incredibly difficult it is to do anything because I wanted to add some new variable to IP time, and I collected a list of 10 other subroutines that I would have to change, and then I just gave up and quit. And, and then just playing around with the mesh, I realize how incredibly easy it is. Once you create a Biomin class and you design, define how to read stuff in, any mesh, anything, you're ready to go. Hopefully it has.
We'll find out soon, I guess.
Is there any news on the computer system?
I didn't actually ask Andrew today because he looked a little stressed already. But they were still installing stuff, but it was, he kind of thought it was kind of running.
Mm.
He thought he had to reinstall it a few more times.
Is there any money for a summer student, or do you think it's impossible to get a summer student?
I was talking to Charlie,
engineering science. He got an electrical engineering student to do his project. So, but it's hard to find, they're saying.
Good.
Maybe electrical engineering.
There's plenty of them.
They're smart and used to programming.
No, there's lots of them. We had like 20 last summer.
Sure, we did.
Students. Yeah.
Yeah, but can they
program
in C++?
Yeah, I know.
Do they understand a little bit about fundamentals?
Yeah, I know. You have to find them. But that's the same with any of those sort of project level students. You know, you get what you get. And sometimes you get a really good one and sometimes you don't. I think it's worth offering that. It's a good idea. Yeah. I'm thinking that at some point I'm quite happy to devote a bit more time to this and try and, you know, just spend some time making whatever GUI or something and making it run, and if we can have some results. Mm-hmm. If you do something, you're quite happy. Well, do we try and, I mean, if we're going to try and design a Spider-Man class, then I guess we should try and propose one. What it means, I don't know.
Would those want to... To us?
Yeah, that's what
I mean. That's where I was... I guess that's why I brought it up, because I could go off and just do it myself, but...
Again, it's hard to... It's really hard to... just make those things up unless you've got some concrete examples. These are the things that I wanted to do.
And well, I mean, I was originally thinking I'm going to write down an example.
Yeah.
And just write it down in terms of class language.
Yeah.
Or just what would be done.
Okay.
So that's just going to be the subroutines that we do call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I mean, it's quite trivial, really. It's just time moving. But a discussion over it would be useful because I generally want it to be, I mean, in my opinion, you want to be so general that you can solve it any way you want. You know, the, because it doesn't have to be an operator splitting, but it can be some other kind of.
Okay, but you could write those two classes.
Okay. Yeah.
See,
it's easier, right?
I'm just scared of.
Over-engineering.
Getting involved in things that aren't necessary.
Mm.
And wonder whether it's best to just put down something as what we want now, and that'll help us understand what the clash really needs in the future.
So this one.
I'm just someone.
If you had five examples, I'd be much more confident that we could say this is what we need.
Yeah. But always be careful looking too excited and interested in C++. Create classes and inheritance.
In the reason. No, it does look useful. And once we've set it up, then everyone will use the same diffusion part of it, and probably only change cell models and variations, and so it'd be great to have it all in one class.
It's just, if you look at the example 18 of the Mother Stokes, it's essentially that same thing.
Okay.
Okay.